Numbers, 14th chapter. Book of Numbers, 14th chapter, beginning with verse 26. Amen. The Bible reads, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hands to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness, until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year, for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community, which has banded together against me. They will meet therein, in this wilderness. Here they will die. I want to talk from the subject, why so long? Why so long? A great thing that we like to say is that if God is for us, who can be against us? While we utter that so quickly, let's look at the opposite side of that very statement. If God is against us, who in the world could be for us? And here we have a situation where the Israelites have God more than any people on the earth. And yet, as much as they have him, they complain. They moan. They groan. I said a lot of times that the book of Numbers should be called the book of murmurings. Because they were never satisfied, even though God had done so much. And I myself was wondering, how in the world could a people complain so much to a God that had did so many things? I couldn't understand that. If I was an Israelite, it seemed like to me I would be satisfied with just waking up.
All right.
I can't imagine being in slavery for 400 years. And then being in a front row seat as God performed 10 plagues to remove them from slavery. Not only that, the big thing was while he was working his miracles, And they could see how the Egyptians were suffering. In the very midst of their suffering, they weren't. In other words, the plagues were only affecting those who were Egyptian. So you could see how good God is. You could see how powerful God is. But yet, that's not enough. But that ain't the only thing that would keep me on track with God. Because as I left Egypt, I saw a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. I saw God's presence himself, how he led me, how he guided me, how he protected us from the Egyptians who were bearing down on us. In other words, the Egyptians couldn't get past the cloud nor the fire, but I could still see the enemy.
All right.
But God protected me and he kept me. So when it came to a point where they were cornered, they cried yet again. Did you leave us or bring us out here for us to die? We'd have been better off in Egypt. And then in the midst of all that crying, God parted the waters. And they walked on dry land and seen walls of water on both sides and had to be astonished at what they were seeing, because this is not a normal function. This is not normal. This is not reality. They crossed it, and then all of a sudden they saw the enemies coming on the same road, and they cried yet again. And then they said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because the enemies you see today, you won't see no more. And so all of that has to build up some kind of faith in me that God is more than able to take care of whatever I need. And so going through those experiences and continuing to move forward and moving along, I come to a place where there's no drinking water. Everything around here is bitter. And they start complaining again. You done brought us out here to die. We'd have been better off in Egypt, where the water was drinkable. And in the midst of that, God told Moses to get a piece of wood and throw it into the water. And all the bitter water was turned to sweet water. And they began to drink. And once they got their power, they began to move forward and come to see that only 5 miles away was 70 palm trees and 12 of the sweetest wells you ever would want to taste. The only thing that seemed to have been in their mind was complaining about the situation at hand and how they wish they were back in Egypt. And if I can recall, for 400 years, you cried to get out of Egypt.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying, if I was an Israelite, I would be recording these things, because every obstacle thus far that we have encountered, God has provided.
Come on now.
We're on the brink of going into the promised land.
Come on, God.
Well, let me back it up just a bit. There was a problem with food.
Come on now.
Folks was hungry. So once again, they complained. And then God sends them manna from heaven. Now, this is not no ordinary thing to come outside in the morning and find your food all over the ground. Normally the ground would be a dirty place, but you gathered what you need and they made what sustained them from the heavens. But when they couldn't find no food, they cried again, Lord, you done brought us out here to leave us and die. At least in Egypt, we had yeast and we had stuff to make our bread. We had to worry about where the food was coming from. Then when they got tired of bread, they cried again, Lord, we sure wish we had some yard bird. We just want a little bit of meat. This bread is good, but can I get a little bit of chicken bone or something? And God provided them with quail. But they also cried the same thing. So now we're on the break or the brink of going into the promised land. Now understand this. God had told them that this was their land. The only reason God allowed the 12 spies to go out and search the land was because the people still wanted some more proof that it would be theirs. Not because God who ordained it, but God allowed it because man was acting up. Okay, if you don't have no faith in me, if you really don't trust in what I say, then send the spies over and let them see if the land is exactly what I said it is. So if I'm an Israelite, I'm seeing all of this and I'm thinking about all of this. And the 12 spies go over, and the land was everything that God said it would be, and as Reverend Palmer would say, in a bag of chips. They come back and they report. Joshua and Caleb say, hey, just as God said. He said, we are more than able to conquer and to take what God said belongs to us. But then there were 10 more who didn't see it quite the same way. They say, yeah, it's everything that God said it would be. But what he forgot to leave out is there's some big old folks over there. And we are but like grasshoppers compared to them. Now, mind you, I'm an Israelite. And I'm remembering all that God has brought me through to a place where God has now taken me. And the reality says that it does not matter who's over there. If God says that it is mine, then I should be more than able to overcome and to take what belongs to us. The majority believed the negative report. They didn't want to go up and fight because they believed that they would be overtaken by the Amorites, the Amalekites, the Amalekites, and any other kind of ite that was over there. Their minds were not able to see what God had prepared. And so here you have a multitude of people who have traveled with God through quite insurmountable obstacles. And now they come upon one and they don't believe that God can do it. Now, if I was the Israelite, I would have said with Joshua and Caleb, let's do this. Because God said that we could. That's not what happens in the text. God said, so tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. Did you bring us out here to die when we would have been better off in Egypt? This is the people that God has, and what I'm asking you to do is to replace them with us. Has God not brought you through some great situations? Have God not brought you through some difficult circumstances? Has God done the impossible in your life and you have traveled with him step by step, but yet every time an obstacle comes, you begin to cry and say, Lord, why me? Do you not remember what God brought you through?
Yes, sir.
If he brought you through one thing, he can take you through another thing. But you got to have faith. You got to have belief. You got to have courage. You got to have understanding. You got to know that God is exactly what he said he is. You can't say if God is for me, who can be against me? But yet you afraid to step into what God can do.
Come on.
Why so long? Why so long does this people reject me? What is it that I have to do to get through to you?
Come on.
How many tricks and miracles do I have to turn for you to understand that I'm here? I will never leave you nor forsake you. What does it take for you to understand that I'm not going nowhere even though you try to go somewhere? I'm not sending you somewhere and I don't know where I'm sending you. Abraham, I need you to go. Abraham don't have a clue as to where he's going, but Abraham understands one thing. If I don't know where I'm going, that's fine because God knows.
Yes, sir.
So the majority believes the negative report.
Yeah.
And you know how we know this?
Well,
Because God, as people say, he understands. Don't understand. He doesn't understand how he can provide protection, but you don't want it. He doesn't understand how he can feed you in the wilderness, but you don't want the fruits that are in the land that he has already prepared, that you yourself have never prepared, but that God had prepared for you so that when you got there, you'd have something.
Come on, come on.
You didn't work for that land. You didn't plant. You didn't do anything over there to make the land the milk and honey land that it is, but God prepared it for a people who he thought would appreciate it. But as soon as the negative report comes, we change our faces. Oh, they said we ain't gonna be able to do that. Said we ain't gonna be able to go. So I guess we gonna let's go on. Oh, come on, everybody, pack up. Let's start marching back to Egypt. Because apparently we can't get into that land. They got some big folks over there, and I'm sure we can't handle any of it. God said, tell them this. All of you, 20 and above, right? Will never see the promised land. Here is where you're going to die. Because you believed the negative report. Now, what I want you to understand is that the Bible only indicates that there will be two. Who's going to make it? You mean to tell me out of a whole nation, only two people are going over into the promised land? Didn't nobody remember what God had done for them? Was nobody willing to stand up and say, I'm with Joshua and Caleb?
Come on, yeah.
Was nobody able to say that if God was able to do all that I saw, I'm sure that we are more than able, just like Caleb said, to walk into the promised land. Nobody?
Come on, God. Come on.
Why so long?
Yeah.
So God says, but I'm not just going to end your misery. Now, for those who gave the negative report, they died quickly. Because they brought back something they should have never brought back to God's people. But for those who believe the report that were from the majority, you know, we like to go with majority rules. Let me help you out. Majority ain't always right. Sometimes it's good to be in a minority. And this time it was very good to be in a minority. But here is the kicker to this. The Bible says that you will suffer for every day you rejected my plan for your plan. See, folks wonder why God ain't blessing me. They wonder why I don't have the blessings that someone else had. They wonder why I haven't achieved what I should have achieved in God. I know it because we struggle with Lord. How come I'm still struggling from day to day? How come I'm still in this mediocre job? I got a mediocre marriage, a mediocre life. How come I'm still struggling with all these things? But yet the process you took to get to where you are did not include God. And so he's saying, now for every day you rejected my plan for your plan, there's a momentary time of suffering. And one thing I know about God is God can either make it quick or he can draw it out. See, we go through our life doing our plan. And then when we accept Christ, we want God to fix it immediately. See, it took us 40 years to get into a jacked up situation. But we want God to turn it around in 1 week. The problem is that if it's not turned around in 1 week, We always want to stop and cry and say, well, at least I was better off back where I used to be, because at least I knew I was no good. I wasn't going nowhere fast, but I was comfortable in my surroundings. And so because of that, I'm scared of pushing forward, because I have no real idea of what's ahead of me, even though God says he has me. So you wonder, why so long? Lord, why am I dealing with this issue? Why am I suffering because I'm sick? Why am I suffering in a bad marriage? Why am I suffering with bad friends? Why am I suffering? Why? Lord, I could have just stayed where I was. The problem is that we keep believing the negative reports that we are no good, that we are about nothing, that we'll never be anything, that we broke and we will always be broke. As long as you believe the negative report, and let me help you out, it's the majority of your core who hangs with you that feeds you the negative report.
Come on.
Oh, you're gonna be just like your daddy. You're just like your mama. Ain't no good bone in your body. You's a bum from the beginning, and you'll be a bum in the end. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be where you are right now. You're lucky I let you come into the world. And you sit there as a child of God, and you believe the negative report when God says that if I'm for you, who can be against you? But we can't walk in that, because that's just too right. We got to walk into the fact that we ain't nobody. We ain't never getting nowhere. I'm always going to be this. I'm always going to be that, when God says that's not the case. But then here's what God said. If that's what you think, if that's what you believe, then I'm going to give you what you've been asking for. For every day that you search the promised land, I'm giving you a year to be in the wilderness. Here's what that does. Number one, it gives those time for those who believe the negative report to die off right in the wilderness. But look what happens when you hang with folks who believe the majority report. God didn't say, well, now I'm going to send y'all over into the promised land and I'm going to leave them here in the wilderness. They all suffered together. Even Joshua and Caleb, knowing that they had an opportunity to go into the promised land, they had to remain in the wilderness for 40 years while folks died off. And let me help you out. While they were dying off, they were still murmuring. But the problem is that when God gave them their final judgment for being disobedient, what did they try to do? Oh, wait a minute, Lord. I'm sorry. I was trying to think for myself. Let us go up now. But then Moses said, nah, because God said, don't go up there, because if you go up there now, you're going to get destroyed. Why is it that after we rejected God, then we want to do what God said because we found out we were wrong? But when you go and the window has closed,
Come on now.
Once God rejects or closes a window, you can't go until he reopens the window. So you have let things go in your life that God has given you the green light, but because you believe the negative report, you're no longer able to go to where the green light was. Then you're trying to go when the green light has been turned to red and you have no God protection. Remember, if God is for me, the question now is, since God is against me, where can I go? You cannot ever go without the protection of a holy God. Yeah. It's up to you to move when God says move, to sit still when God says sit still. But in order to be able to understand when God is speaking to you, you have to know who he is.
Well,
And you have to build up some faith that he is able. So God has told them now, you can't go nowhere. Those who you hang around, even though you're not doing wrong, you are suffering in the midst of the company you keep. God has closed your door because the company you keep. In other words, I'm still with you. That's why I said I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you, and you're still going to get there. You're just not going to get there in the time that I had originally planned. Because you were so caught up in what the world was doing, they must suffer. But since you were with them, now you must suffer with them until I can bring you to where I need to bring you. And the process of bringing you there is also building and strengthening you. So when you get there, you're able to know what to do when you finally arrive. So when you ask the question, why so long? It's because you are not living.
Come on, Reverend. Come on, Reverend.
You're not following his plan. You're following your plan. And when you follow your plan, you get the consequences of your plan.
Yeah.
And then you can't go crying back to God
yeah.
and say, well, God understands. I'm here to tell you that God, even though he knew his people,
yeah.
didn't understand. If it was not for the prayers of Moses, yeah. he'd have probably killed all of them
yeah.
in the wilderness.
Well.
And don't that beat all.
My.
So, you mean to tell me that because
well,
I rejected God's plan, that's why I'm going through what I'm going through.
Yes,
what you're also telling me is that I'm not quite sure
well,
of the timetable for when I'm going to get out
yes.
of this mess.
Come on.
In other words, I guess I must buckle down and continue to pray and to learn about God. So whenever this window of opportunity comes again, I would jump at it versus allowing the majority report to stop me from going forth and walking in my blessing that you gave me. Is that what I'm to understand?
Well,
yeah. Why so long?
Well,
because you keep doing your thing. Why so long?
Well,
because you keep rejecting his report.
Yeah.
Why so long? Because you don't believe that he can do what he said he can do.
Yeah.
Why so long?
Woo.
Because it's going to take that much time to reprogram your mind to get you on the right side of God. So that when you do walk into your blessing, you're able to appreciate it because you remember where you came from. If you can remember where you came from, you're better off knowing where you're going. When you get there, you won't repeat the mistakes you made from where you came from because you don't ever want to go back to where you came from. You just want to keep marching forward, but you got to remember to set Ryan down and lift God up and keep moving toward the kingdom. If I'm moving in kingdom direction, I don't have no earthly problems. Why so long? Because truthfully, we are not honest with ourselves.
Come on.
We are not honest. When we look into the mirror, we are not honest for what we see or what we say or what we think we see. We look into the mirror and we give our own selves a bold-faced lie, telling us that we are fine, we are more than conquerors, we are faithful in Christ. I know that I got everything figured out. You are lying through your teeth. And because you are lying, God cannot get in. We make moves that we think is right, but we really ain't consulted God. And the reason why we don't consult God is because we don't really want to know what the truth is because we want the lie. Why in the world would you not go into a promised land that had the two, Joshua and Caleb said that it was everything that God said it would be, and that we are more than able to go in and conquer because God said it. Why would you not believe that after all that God has brought you through? Why would you go with the majority report that was negative against God? Why so long? Because you can't handle it. You can't handle it right now. Because if we could, we'd walk right into it. It took them 40 years to get to a place that was around the corner. They went in the wilderness and they wandered in circles. But let me get to the last part and I'm done. The Bible says that your next generation will enjoy the promise that you rejected. The problem is that the next generation spent too much time with you in the wilderness watching your bitterness. So that even though God has promised them the promised land, look at what they had to teach them. So when they get to the promised land, they won't do what is right because they saw too much of what was wrong. And unless someone breaks the cycle of the first generation, the next generation is destined to repeat what the first generation did. And if you keep reading the word of God, you will find out that they went from slavery to freedom back to slavery. You don't want, even though you may have messed up, you want to now model a more fulfilling life so that the next generation can walk into the promise that you rejected, but be able to receive it when they get there, because now you're not bitter because you can't go in. You realize I made a mistake. I messed up along the way, but just because I messed up don't mean you have to mess up. So even though I must die here in the wilderness, I'm going to teach you how to survive when you get to the promised land. I'm not going to let you sit in the same misery that I sit in, thinking that the negative report comes from the majority, when everything I know that I should have did, I didn't do, but I'm going to teach you to be the best you can be. So that when I die and you go off, I can say, all right, I've done the best I can. I've taught you everything I can teach you. I didn't let you see the negative stuff, but I showed you the positive stuff. Because God will come through with his promise eventually. The question is, when you get there, will you appreciate it when you get there? And it all depends. And I'm telling you, it's that right here. Why so long? We have to make a decision in our lives if we are going to go with the majority report or the minority report. The Bible says that we are the minority. So therefore, if God says you can, you can. If God says you will, you will. If God says to be still, be still. Stop trying to run in front of him when he knows what's best. But when he gives you a full green light, you better strap up and get the heck going and get to where God wants you to be, because in that is where you'll find the blessing. Not only that, you don't even have to worry about what's waiting. Yes, sir. Because it's God who sent you out. So if we do all that God has called us to do, we won't have to worry about waiting so long. It's in your court. It's in your hands. This church is what we make it. Your life is what you make it. You can't blame nobody. They can't sit there and blame the 10 spies because they saw the same thing that the 10 spies saw. And I'm here to tell you that if any one of them had stood up and said, we want to go with Joshua and Caleb, God would have said, Joshua, Caleb, and the ones who were sided with the minority report. But everybody thinks it's cool to side with the majority because don't nobody want to speak up. Have you been quiet in situations where you should have spoken up to represent Christ and who you are and that you are able? Or are you scared? Scared to be noticed, scared to be seen, scared to be pulled out. Because if you reject him now, he'll reject you later. The road is not hard. We just make it hard. They didn't have to spend 40 years. They made it that way. And so just because you got saved or you're about to get saved, don't think that everything you've done in your past is going to change overnight. God will definitely come in and sup with you, but it's going to take you some time to get to know who he is and take a nice faithful walk to God to get you out. So say, Lord, I may not be out of my mess in an overnight success, but help me to walk daily so that I can get away as far as I can from the mess I created. If it took me 20 years to get here, it may take me 20 years to get out of it. But I'm not about to turn back now because I realize that God is on my side. Once again, if God is for me, who can be against me? God is long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. But he also expects us to be better than what we are. And he knows that we can be better than what we are because, number one, he made us. Number two, he told us to be holy. And the reason why he said to be holy is because when we accept Christ, a part of him now resides within us. So in other words, we do have the victory, but we have to walk in the victory and understand that we are walking miniature gods as long as he's in us. But if he's in us and we don't use him, it's all for naught. If you can't tap into the power that is in each one of us who are born again, then it means you don't know him. It means you haven't studied his word. It means you don't seek him out. So therefore, all your search processes are wrong. When you know that you know that you know you know you know that you belong to the one and only God whose son is Jesus the Christ, whose Holy Spirit resides and rests in you, you can make it along the journey.
Yes, sir.
Even if it takes a long time, you hold on to what God gave you. Because in the end, whatever you didn't receive right here, you're going to receive in glory. That's hope. That's faith. That's patience. Is it going to be easy along the way? I never said that. Nor did the Bible say that. But is it worth it? Is the process worth it? It is when you know who God is. Because see, when you know who God is, you know that you can get up even in your misery, even in your pain, even in your trouble. I can still get up every morning and say that I belong to God. Amen? And everything I do belongs to him. So whatever the case, Lord, if you get me up, just help me make it through the day. I'm not trying to grab a week, a month, or 2 years ahead. I'm just trying to make it through the day. Lord, bless me right now. Bless me where I am. Help me to start making the right decision. Help me to believe the minority report. Help me to stay away from negative facets. Help me to follow you. And if you do that, I know I'll grow better. I'll be stronger. Not only will I be stronger, but I'll help others. Because uncontrary to popular belief, when you claim Christ, folks is watching. everything you do. That's why many of us stay quiet. We don't want folk to know we belong to Jesus. But Jesus didn't come down to die for us to be silent. He didn't have to stay on the cross. He didn't have to die on the cross. But he took the death that we couldn't take. He took our place. He died for all of our sins before you was even born. He already covered them. He asks us one thing. Go out and be a witness. Tell somebody. The Minority Report says that he's coming back for his church. And when he comes back to get us, that's when the rest begins. Right now, it's time to work. So stop asking the question of why so long and just deal with the time and the moment that you're in and understand that if I keep focused in on God, I'm going to get to the promised land. And even if I don't get there on this side, I'm going to get there on the other side. But I'm going to train up those who are with me so that even when I'm gone, they'll keep marching in the right direction. Because I don't want nobody to go through what I went through. Nor did I want anybody that I've been acquainted with to ever say, I'd rather be back in Egypt, where Egypt was going to kill you anyway. Look up, look to God, and keep moving forward. Amen.
Amen.
Doors of the church are open this morning.